Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So it's Victorian times, and you're an orphan, and you hang out with these other orphans in kind of a cool basement orphan place. And you have sort of a crush on your best friend, but you're not sure what to do. And then all of a sudden, this like really rich guy starts to like hang out with you and kind of woo her. And you feel like you're losing her. And then you find out that the rich guy is a hemophiliac. And you know you're really good at punching. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
Oh, I mean, then isn't punching murder?
A little bit.
Mm.
But nobody else knows that you know what you know about the hemophilia.
Is he evil?
The rich guy?
Yeah.
No.
He's just
taking
likes
away
a girl.
Your friend.
Okay, here's the thing. He's the Prince of England. You don't know he's the Prince of England yet, but like he's
okay.
He's hoity-toity and he's hanging out with the orphans.
The way information is spread is crazy. So you're the only one who
also,
knows he's
by the
hemophiliac,
way,
but
you work cases of supernatural origin for Dr. Watson of Sherlock Watson fame. Don't worry about it. That's just a side
okay.
bit of this.
Okay.
Wait,
and
also,
you're an orphan.
Okay, wait. Wait, so so you and your friend are orphans. How old are you guys?
You're like 17. She just had her 17th birthday. You're about 17.
And how old is the prince?
Same thing, like around 17.
Mm.
And you've been friends with the girl like since before puberty, but like, you know, post-puberty, you're really noticing her.
Oh, so you are like falling in love with your friend as well.
Yeah. You're jealous. That's why you're considering murder.
Oh, then just do it.
You're considering murder that you can say is manslaughter.
Exactly.
You could be like, I didn't know. But here's the thing. You can also say, I didn't know he was the Prince of England, and they're still going to fucking guillotine
That's
your
the other
ass.
Thing is, yeah, there's a risk that you murder a prince, you're going to get in big trouble.
Yeah, murder or manslaughter, it's still regicide.
Can you set up like a series of like boulders or something that
there
we
go. Yeah, there you go. Don't even punch them. Like
you punch a boulder, maybe.
I mean, you're
or
in
like,
Victorian
hey, catch
London.
This bowling ball.
There's not a lot of boulders.
Okay, well, maybe like a factory falls on him or something.
Okay,
yeah, fucking those factories were begging to fall over. Are you kidding? I saw fucking what's that movie?
Go on.
I don't know what movie you could
David
possibly
Copperfield.
Be talking about.
David Copperfield.
Oh, the one with Dev Patel.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what?
It was good. It was not about magic, though.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, first of all, he's the prince, right? He doesn't even know where he should be walking, where he shouldn't be walking. He doesn't know this part of town.
True.
Right? Maybe like a brick falls on his head or something.
Fuck yeah, a brick falls on his head.
Okay. I mean, these are all murders.
right.
Can't be traced to you, right?
Well, wait, now, Kay, are you suggesting using some street tough as an accomplice? Because that's trouble. Then you got to kill him.
No. You're only, because you'd have to eliminate all the witnesses. This is what you need to do. You, oh God. Okay. How do you, so you just get to know his route, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Kelly. I have a wrinkle to throw on, but I want to hear your plan.
Okay. So he has a route that he goes on, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pile a shit ton of bricks like on top of a roof that's like kind of near there, right?
Yeah.
Put a ton of like bird food, okay? And the bricks are like really precariously balanced, like Jenga, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put a shit ton of bird food just like around and on that tower,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you do it like right before he's going to walk through there. The birds come down. They fuck up that tower. One of those bricks is going to hit that man.
Why wouldn't you just wait up there and knock a brick off?
Because you can have an alibi.
Now,
you're down on the ground.
But you aren't down on the ground because you had to be up there to give the birds food.
Okay, you run. You run. You go down to like the top floor. You go talk to like some guy, some push broom.
Okay.
Okay. You talk to them.
You're going to have to kill this guy.
No, you just say, we're talking. Oh my God, how's your family? Look at the time. Did you hear that outside? Yeah. I was in here with you, right?
Don't say that.
Yeah, you're making witnesses, Kelly.
I mean, I think in like Dickensian England, all these Cockney bastards, they say shit like that to each other all the time. They know they always need an alibi.
Right.
These are career criminals. Just in case. Like, hey,
anyone
hey,
you're talking to.
We're each other's alibi right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, what was the wrinkle you were going to throw in, Patrick?
The wrinkle is you are in Sherlock Holmes's immediate orbit.
So I think
you need to either bring him in to the plan to help you kill this mm-hmm. person, or he will be used against you.
No, but
here's
the thing about
Sherlock Holmes right now. He is on opium. Like,
yeah.
Deep.
Ooh.
You're doing all this stuff for Watson and him.
Yeah.
Right?
So, well, he's not really Sherlock, really Watson.
Oh, is Watson like trying to like take over in...
Watson may be evil. Guys, I watched this show. It's called The Irregulars. It's on Netflix.
Mm.
It is.
Yeah, I've been seeing the trailers for it.
It's got like early season Buffy vibes, not in a quippy way, but like in a fun, like gang fighting supernatural way.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Listen, I think you're in the best position to kind of like cover up your own, like, you know, guide the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because you're an investigator, sort of.
I mean, he's the muscle. This is Billy. Billy is the muscle. He's not really.
Oh, okay.
He's part of the team. He's like if Xander could fight. So he's on the team that gets hired, but he's not. They're not hired for him.
I do think that he has a possibility to fuck up this brick and birdseed plan that I've created.
Well, what's funny is the first episode, the supernatural evil is this guy who can control birds.
Shut up.
Okay, first of all,
so really you just work with that guy.
You plea bargain. So you're like, hey, I'm the heavy, I'm the big mama of this team. I'm not gonna punch you into oblivion if you get your birds to do one teeny little murder for me. But I mean that's a heel turn. You're no longer part of the team.
Yeah, and
I don't think
you get the girl.
No, I don't think so.
That's tough.
You know, you get to feel the power of being the big mama. What did you say?
The big mommy of this team. Wow, you guys.
We're doing big mommy ships. Here, okay, I think we need an important distinction first. Is there a difference between big mommy and big mama?
Yes.
I think there is.
Aggressively so. Big mama is like boss lady. Big mommy is like gonna step on you.
I mean, big mama.
Yeah.
Big mommy.
Big mommy is 100% a face sitting thing.
Yeah.
Big Mama is a iconic Martin Lawrence character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One is comical and one is
erotic.
Deeply sexual.
Yeah.
Well, because mommy in this case is just the female equivalent of daddy, right?
Right.
And both are such like simultaneously such a turn off and somehow a turn on. It's just it's ubiquitous with dirty talk, I think.
Resident Evil Village.
That's right.
What about
Resident Evil 8 the Village or just
Village?
Yeah, Village.
Featuring Lady
Dimitrescu?
Dimitrescu, who is, how tall is she?
9'6".
Yeah, 9'6". She's got big mommy milkers. And this is not my wording. This is the wording of the internet. Basically, with her reveal... the internet went crazy and everyone was like, I want her to catch me because she's a villain. She's like a queen of the vampires.
Well, and like for like Resident Evil villains, there's almost always a too big thing that chases you, right?
Right.
Like sometimes it's a tyrant, sometimes it's Nemesis, sometimes it's a dude in a big trench coat, but it has always historically been like creepy looking dude characters. And mm-hmm. now they're like, no, it's a lady. She's got big tits and a giant hat. Yeah. And you love her.
And you love her and you want her to catch you.
You want it so bad.
So basically, and also like this trailer was released during the like nadir of pandemic. So everyone was like getting very horned out over this big mommy. Mm-hmm. And now we'll finally be able to get caught by the big mommy. And thus we were doing big mommy ships. I do want to say that Patrick and I were a little alarmed because we were going off about big mommies and big mommy milkers and all that.
Yes.
In the group chat. And we realized that Ryan and Colin may not know what we were referring to. And we were just saying big mommy milkers a lot mm-hmm. and big mommy. And I'm sorry for that, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, to that point, I can affirm that I definitely had no idea what the fuck you creepos were talking about.
I figured it was just some video game creepiness. All right, these creeps. They've got some video game bullshit they're talking.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming up with a plot, topic.
It also was funny because like Patrick and I were going back and forth, and then it was like an hour went by, and Ryan and Colin didn't say anything, and I was like, uh-oh. I was like, oh, we went too far.
We started getting like really excited about it, right?
Yeah. No, it was like upsetting. And then mm-hmm. I think there were you sent a gif of her.
I sure did.
Explain.
It's a good gif. It's a good gif.
It's a good gif that doesn't really explain anything. But it is a good gif. It's her like turning towards camera.
And smiling.
And her boobs are very large the entire time.
Mm-hmm. The whole time. Nonstop.
Don't even take a break.
So she basically has like a coterie of like lady vampires who are also large, but she is the largest. She's very, very large.
So how large are we talking? Like 8 feet tall?
Patrick said, what is it? 9 foot.
She's 9'6". Yeah.
That's 9'6".
So she was once a human.
I don't know.
Unclear.
Well, usually vampires were.
Right.
Here's the thing. She's got to catch you before you can find out.
And I really want to find out.
Oh, man.
I think she... So I guess in this world, vampirism makes you larger.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, unclear. Like, if it's a Resident Evil game, there's probably some kind of, like, virus that's doing it, right?
Sure.
And, you know, there have been giant men in the past, and it's just profoundly not sexy when a man is giant. Like, who gives a shit?
Speak for yourself.
Talking about that for
yourself. Men are tall all the time.
Have you
seen
Paul Bunyan?
I've been listening to you three talk about that fucking Khal Drogo Aquaman motherfucker for, like, 5 years now.
Oh, well.
Is his tallness a selling point there?
I assume.
How is it not?
What?
It's
Patrick. I feel like you came from an alternate universe.
I feel like this is not Patrick.
I just want a tiny Jason Momoa that I can put in my front pocket like her.
I mean, like, what? I just feel like you're not being yourself. It's scaring me.
Okay. Well, here's what I will say. A normally sized tall man. Yes. Good. An 9.5 foot tall man? No good.
I'm interested.
Oh, okay. Somebody hasn't seen My Giant in a long time.
That's true.
Him and Billy Crystal had
it has
a
been
chemistry.
A while. Colin, is this your ship?
This is my ship. My big mommy ship is Billy Crystal and the actor who portrayed the titular giant in My Giant. I had a My Giant poster hanging on the wall in my basement for like 15 years.
That's really amazing.
Well, the video store would sell their old posters for a quarter when I was a kid, and that was one I grabbed.
Very little That's demand cute. For that poster.
I mean, decent flick. I watched it. I was like 11. I don't remember if I liked it or not.
But, it's problematic now.
Is it?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
The exploitation of giants. It's like
I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
They
address it in King Kong, but that was... no, but my big mommy ship, I don't know. For me, I thought of different, like, I like masculine characters who are mommies or mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Aykroyd actually plays a character called Mother in this great spy thriller from 1992 called Sneakers. And
what that, the heck? All you what? Care about is sneakers now.
It's really
good, guys. I think Colin is a sneaker.
No, I would be the worst sneaker. I talk about it too much.
But that would be your cover.
Oh yeah, it's too obvious, right? I'm just like plain sight.
Guys, I'm not like a burglar who works for a security firm, and what we do is we break into like high tech buildings and bank vaults and stuff like that to prove that they're not secure enough. I'm just a fan of the genre.
That's on the record now. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. So now that I've got that covered up,
not covered, but covered up.
Covered up. I've got that all neatly tucked away under my rug. Well, so my ship does come from Sneakers, and it is Robert Redford and Ben Kingsley's characters. They are Bishop, a.k.a. Bryce, and Cosmo. So back in the 60s, they were just like a couple of proto-hackers, like doing like really, really early internet hacking, or I guess, I don't know, however it worked. I don't know the science. But their whole thing was like, okay, we're kind of like just college hippie anarchists. We like to smoke dope, and we hack into Richard Nixon's personal bank account and drain all the funds and stuff like that and give it to organizations that support legalizing marijuana. Like, we're just kind of goofballs, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But one night they're up late and they're doing their thing, and Ben Kingsley is hungry and he wants a pepperoni pizza. So they do like this, okay, choose the coin. Which hand is the coin in? Robert Redford, of course, gets it wrong because Ben Kingsley is a sleight of hand magician.
Of course.
Of course. He's a college kid. He likes trickery, you know? He's a very Loki-esque character.
There's no consequences for this, so who cares?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So poor Robert Redford has to bundle up and go out into the cold Boston weather to get a pepperoni za for his friend Cosmo. And as he's leaving the building, bang, the door crashes in and the cops grab him and they get Ben Kingsley. And he goes to jail for like ever. He gets like hard time for that.
Whoa.
And Bishop, who was Bryce at the time, just goes on the run. He looks back. He sees his best friend getting arrested through the window. And he just walks away, changes his name, changes his whole life, leaves his whole world behind him, moves to San Francisco. And it's like crazy. Like that's it for him. You know, this is like a 20-year-old kid. He's got to leave his whole life behind.
Yeah.
Now, through the events of the movie Sneakers, which are, I mean, it's a lot. We want to get into it. Last week, we talked about the date at the Chinese restaurant, and that is such a small part of the movie. But basically, the organization? It's not the FBI.
CIA?
No, the other one.
NSA.
NSA, yes. So the brother-in-law from Field of Dreams shows up and he's like, hey, I'm in the NSA and we want you to steal something. We're going to give you like $125,000, which is huge in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, fine. We can steal this box. Like, what's the big deal? We're all caper people. And to sweeten the pot, the NSA sour the pot, really. They say to Bishop, like, hey, we know you're actually Martin Bryce. We can make this go away if you do this. But if you
make what go away?
The fact that he's a fugitive. Okay. Yeah, that he was a fugitive hacker for like 30 years. Like, you can have your life back, basically. Or we can, you know, we can drudge all this stuff up if you want. Like, your choice. So he has to get his whole hacking team together, which is a super team. You got Sidney Poitier. You got Dan Aykroyd, who is Mother. You got River Phoenix. You got Mary McDonnell. Who else is in there? David Strathairn, who's like a character actor you may recognize. Anyway, all-star cast. They all got their own little job to do. It's perfect. But all the while, this cat and mouse game is drawing Robert Redford and Ben Kingsley closer and closer together. And it like snakes and weaves and all these little different twists happen. And it ends with Ben Kingsley and Robert Redford, like former best friends, now turned enemies, face to face on this roof. And Ben Kingsley is like, this is like, don't you see? Like this whole plot, this was our dream. I'm going to like take down capitalism once and for all. I'm going to destroy the US government. This is what we were trying to do. Like, why won't you come with me and be evil? And Robert Redford's just like, because, man, like, I'm a chill-ass, like, hippie anarchist. I'm not like you. And if you want to stop me, you're going to have to shoot me. Earlier, Ben Kingsley tried to get one of his goons to shoot him. But he's like, no, if you want to stop me, you have to shoot me.
Right, but Ben Kingsley isn't a big hippie. This could backfire.
I mean, he rolls the dice on it. But deep down, like,
Just like rolling the dice on the hidden coin thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's the
but he was loaded dice.
Ooh.
Okay, so what happens, Colin? You've got us all on the edge of our seats.
Do they get their pepperoni pizza?
Oh my god, that would be so funny if he was like, "Where's my pepperoni pizza?"
Oh my god.
Well, so Ben Kingsley can't do it, but he does. I'm messing it up. Okay, so Ben Kingsley like fires over his shoulder, right, to scare him.
Yeah.
And then Robert Redford's like, "Fine, fuck you," and he gives him the black box. That's the item, the Maltese the Falcon. Yeah,
right.
Which is like
mother box,
secret.
Yes.
It's a decoder.
Box.
It's the mother box. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It decodes any computer in the world. And Ben Kingsley's like, "Fine, go if you don't care about my dream." And Robert Redford walks away and he reunites with his team of hackers and they go off to, you know, do their next adventure and have a weird scene with the real NSA because the NSA was fake the whole time. But
well, was the mother box fake?
The one that Ben Kingsley ends up is because Robert Redford sleights of hands him.
Sleights of hand. He learned from his best friend.
He's like, "I learned from watching you."
Yeah,
Wait,
no, I messed that up. That's not exactly how it happens.
What?
But he does.
It's okay. You told a good story.
My ship is Ben Kingsley and Robert Redford. From
all right, I like it, and it's not as disgusting as I was worried about given the content of this topic.
They're just going to spend the rest of their lives loving each other and wishing
afar.
They could be together.
Aww. I love it.
Colin, where was Sneakers for the 29 years prior to this? Why right now is it on the top
of your
head?
Because it just hit HBO Max.
I
watched it like 5 days ago. But it is a VHS that I've had, you know, in my box of tapes for...
But it's not a poster you had.
It is not a poster.
Do you have a VCR?
Yes, we do have a VCR.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
VCR Club.
Yep.
Cool.
Patrick, do you have a sneaker ship?
No, not a sneaker ship, but I do have a big mommy ship.
That's the one. Let's hear about that.
So my ship is Scott Free and Big Barda, the DC characters featured heavily in the Mr. Miracle series from just a couple years ago. I reread it all this morning because I was like, I think I like this ship. It's 12 issues. And it is just the story of, so Scott Free, Mr. Miracle, like his whole thing is that, he is the son of Orion, or not of Orion, of the High Father, who they did like a son swap thing with the gods of New Genesis and Apocalypse. And so he is like New Genesis royalty, the prince, the, you know, inheritor to the throne, but he was raised on Apocalypse, which is, you know, a place as terrible as the name implies. and that's where he met his future wife, Big Barda, who is like an 8 foot tall, like Amazon warrior woman. She's awesome. And they were basically just like tortured as kids by Granny Goodness, who we talked about in our Justice League episodes.
Oh, yeah.
But so like she raised these kids in the pits of Apocalypse. But like raised is not like she also tortures them, right? She subjects them to these like tremendous, awful pain. And like makes them stronger, but is also torturing children, right? Like, it's the whole series is sort of dealing with their shared past together. What did you just text around? Yep, that's right.
There's also a Christmas movie with a guy from Northern Exposure wearing a very dorky plaid jacket called Mr. Miracle.
Yes. spell out Mr. and you'll find it.
Okay, because this is a guardian angel.
Not it.
Maybe Christian propaganda.
Yeah, I think it's a trick.
So MR period Miracle is a different franchise.
Different property. Yeah.
Yes, copy that. Okay.
But so there are two issues in particular that like to me like sold me on their relationship here, and the first of which is they're called back to like go to war in on Apocalypse, fighting for the good guys, and as they're sort of just like stampeding through Darkseid's or I guess it's not Darkseid at that point, it's Orion's castle, and they're just like tearing through the place. They have an ongoing conversation about what they want to do to remodel their condo. Mm-hmm. And it's like everything. She's talking about like, well, I think we can like lose half of the living room and like start get another bedroom, and like I think we need a second bathroom, and like it's through this whole thing, and it's just like a violent, bloody brawl with like guards and monsters and like sneaking through vents and stuff, and it's awesome. And it all leads up to him being like, why do you want to do all this? Like, why do you want to change everything? And she's like, hey, I'm pregnant. so we're going to need the space. And they like take down the last guard they need to take down. And he just like hugs her from behind and says, I love you. And she goes, Scott, I believe you.
Aww,
that's sweet. Sweet.
Again, I didn't think we were getting sweet things. I thought this is going to be just a gross, gross episode.
No, it's this relationship is so sweet, and it's also the last issue of the series has one of my favorite moments in comics from the last couple years. Scott's deal is that he's an escape artist; he can escape from anything. And the whole series is kind of posing the question of like, which of these lives is he trying to escape from? The like family life, or the being a god in like this war torn whatever, they live in LA, and they are stuck in traffic, coming back from the beach or something, and they're trying to figure out like how to move forward with their lives after the events of the series, Scott's like, I wonder if we should move out of LA. And she says, I've got the book in front of me here. She says, I love LA. And he says, that's a myth. The metaphor gone senseless. No one loves LA. People just come here because they think they have to. Then they don't leave because they think they can't. And then she responds, darling, please, after everything we've learned by now, that's all that love is. It's just so sweet to be like, the experiences of your life, the things that drive you towards something that feels comfortable, the thing that keeps you where it's safe or where you are seen or whatever, like that's what love is. It's very sweet to me, and I like it a lot.
Aww, that's sweet.
Kelly, you got a ship?
Yeah, let's keep it on the sweet train.
Sweet train.
Okay. So.
this feels like a trap. Does anyone else feel like something bad's about to happen?
She literally already told us this was disgusting.
Mm. Okay. So, Remy the rat.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I am half chubbed already, my
man.
Okay,
so Remy the rat is inside of Linguini's hat. Right,
and this just is, his hat.
Yeah, this is before, I'm so glad you said hat.
Yeah. Okay. So this is before everything is revealed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they need to do like a food tour, So they go to New York City, baby. Linguini is like doing really well through Remy, right? Because Remy is really good at cooking. And they decide to do a little bit of sightseeing. So they go to all the different sites.
Right.
So many things to see. One of the things is the Statue of Liberty. So they go and they're in the Statue of Liberty and lightning strikes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the statue comes to life.
Yeah.
Wow. So is this a Little Chef Big Mommy ship?
This is a little chef inside of a guy inside of a big mommy.
That's right. If Remy thought he liked controlling a man inside of a hat.
Yes.
Oh.
So is Linguini just cut out of this equation?
He's there.
Well, why? He's not necessary, it doesn't sound like.
No, he is. Because, so when you go into the Statue of Liberty, what part do you go into? Do you go into the lantern?
You go into the hat.
Hat. Oh my God! This is even better than I thought. Okay, so they're in the hat. and because of the lightning strike, like it seems like there's an earthquake. Everyone thinks that's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's really the statue waking up. So everyone leaves, but Remy and Linguini get trapped under some rubble. So they're stuck up there. So then they close the Statue of Liberty for a second. She like wakes up. She realizes there's someone in her hat. She starts talking to them. And she falls in love with what she thinks is Linguini, but it's really Remy. And Remy's like, I don't know how to tell her that I'm a rat.
That I'm a rat's puppet.
So there's
I'm a rat puppet.
So there's a little Cyrano in here as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a little Ghostbusters too.
And a little Ghostbusters too, for sure. Yep.
So they start having this romance, and then eventually,
does Linguini control the top of her head? Like,
yeah,
Remy controls the top of his head.
Yeah,
and they're just like breaking Guinness Book World Records for like world's largest soup and world's largest ratatouille.
They're doing all these really big dishes, mm-hmm. and then Remy comes clean and he's like, "Look, I'm a rat that is controlling this guy Remy through his hat." I'm sorry, that's controlling this guy Linguini through his hat. And she's like, wow. And she's like, I want to bring this relationship to a physical level. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how? You're such a big lady. And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, wait a second. And he's like, Linguini, do you want to try something with me? And Linguini's like, okay. So Linguini, Remy controls Linguini. And he's like, do you allow me to take the reins? And the Statue of Liberty's like, yes.
So the part that you're after here is you really want to make sure that Linguini is consenting to this?
I want everybody to consent.
Okay, great.
What is happening? You know the difference between a human body and the Statue of Liberty, right?
Well, so I don't know if you know this, Ryan, but they're underneath the dress. They actually carved
human-sized genitals or statue-sized genitals?
Statue size. So Remy controls Linguini. Human size,
that would be like a prank. Like the sculptor was like...
The whole thing like, of putting genitals fuck you, under Automatica. This skirt is a prank.
No. Okay. Okay. So Remy controls Linguini, who controls the Statue of Liberty to self-pleasure.
Okay. All right.
Just fucking throttling that torch up and down. I gotcha.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh,
that's
okay. Ship.
Hey, dude, it's a fucking good turducken in classic SDS style.
Yes.
No, I think it's great.
Ryan, do you have a big mommy ship?
Yes, and I decided to sidestep all of the momminess of it, and I picked a mom I like. And it's from my favorite movie, Valley Girl, and it's Steve and Sarah Richmond, who are this aging hippie couple. It's the 80s. They kind of feel like life has passed them by. They run a health food store together, and they just enjoy being hippies in the valley. They don't fully understand the commercialism of their daughter, but they love each other, and they like to get high together and hang out and be goofy. So,
aww, I love them.
I ship it.
Wow, what a cleanse.
I feel like I want to see them. I have a dinner party with Cosmo and Bishop from Sneakers. Like, when
honestly, I think that they would really all get. They might have all gone to college together.
Oh my
they
goodness!
All went to college together at NYU. They all decided to hang out in New York City,
where they met the Statue of Liberty,
giant masturbating Statue of Liberty.
Yep, you and Mr. Miracle showed up in his Christmas sweater.
Hey guys,
two relationships.
Oh my god,
y'all are crazy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.